Blog Talk Radio.
I get how quickly time flies, and I mean,
You know, I'm trying to, you know, I'm at a point in my life, and I you know, without disclosing too much personal information, I'm at a juncture in my life where I'm just trying to minimize stress, you know, by eliminating a lot of things that they're generated, you know. There's a saying that, you know, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Fortunately, in my case, I don't, you know, have that problem. I mean, with, you know, really testy family members, and my girl's family is, you know, to a person. As a matter of fact, one of her distant cousins visited unexpectedly the other day our home. And it was a really pleasant surprise. They wanted to check on her and stuff. They don't hear from her that much, but she doesn't make a lot of phone calls. And, you know, obviously, you know, that's what family's for. You know, you don't hear from a family member. You pick up the phone and call and ensure that they're doing all right and that sort of thing. You know, not only family, I mean strangers, elderly, whatever, you know. I do a lot any longer because I've gotten older and my business has become more intense. So my time has become more constrained. As a matter of fact, this morning, had I not had to do the radio show, I would have volunteered because they were calling out all community emergency response team members to do traffic control for a local municipality. I'm down in Maryland, by the way. I'm not in Brooklyn today, where I have, you know, a couple of properties and that sort of thing. But, you know, we are New York based, so don't get it twisted, you know. So at any rate, because it was Memorial Day, because I didn't want to pre-record the show, you know, and it was going to be hot out anyway, you know. New York is 81, so down here it's probably 88, 89 is the forecast has it going up to 90. I don't do heat. Never have, which is why, in a way, I like, you know, being from New York because it has four solid seasons, and you know what they are. And I actually worked upstate, which is brutally cold in the wintertime, but I loved it. I mean, I really did. I had thank God, God is good, I always had decent whips. So I have to worry about getting stranded and that sort of thing, you know. Those days are over with, thank goodness. You know, when I was much younger, it was a concern. But now I'm solidly middle-aged, and that's not something I worry about. I take very, very good care of my vehicles, and they take good care of me in turn. So that's what I've been working on. And it's important not only, you know, to release stress for your own mental health, but physiologically, because, you know, as you get older, you know, obviously things that, you know, wouldn't go wrong when you're in your teens or your 20s start to go wrong. And the stress, you know, releases, you know, all sorts of chemicals in your body that either exacerbate or aggravate the condition. Or conditions, or just, you know, senility, which is the whole process of aging. So I've been trying to do it, and it's difficult because people are determined, you know, and, you know, my pastor said this many, many years ago, you know, matter of fact, the first time I went to church in quite a few months, I just took a break off for the summer, just needed to take a break, period, from a lot of stuff. You know, in church, unfortunately, is in some cases as stressful as, and it shouldn't be, but it has people in it. In any place where there's people, you know, you're gonna encounter, you know, I don't know how to say, you're gonna encounter attitudes. I'll put it that way. So at any rate. You know, I'm working more and more assiduously on doing that, minimizing, you know, the stress in my life, you know, where, which is why I don't take a lot of phone calls. You know, people, why don't you call or make phone? Nah. Mm-mm. if you want to say something to me, send me an email, send me a text, fax, whatever. Excuse me, even snail mail. Yeah, I can read what you got to say and I'll make a determination of whether or not I want to expend the energy and the time to respond. Because typically when people call, I had a call the other day that was outrageous. I mean, a couple, you know, and I ignore them. I mean, if you call me, and those that know me, even in the business, know that the way to get in contact with Dennis, because he screens his telephone calls, and you can leave voicemail after voicemail after voicemail. We will not retrieve it. I simply do not waste time on negativity. And so last week I had this person call me out of the blue, call my office, and was literally yelling at me about something that in their pea brain was my quote-unquote responsibility. I mean, talking to me like I was a child. It was outrageous. And this is precisely what, and it was, you know, someone had handed me the phone, and this is why, you know, and I'm going to put this in writing, you know, for my staff and, you know, those that work with me, even my significant other, do not hand me the telephone unless you know that I want to accept the call from the person calling. I mean, the person was being literally disrespectful, not even rude, just outright disrespectful. There's a distinction between being rude, because sometimes if you're rude, you might not know you're being rude, but this person was being outright disrespectful. And, you know, I realized that the call, well, obviously the call had started stressing me initially, but once I started responding to the stress by raising my voice and you know, that sort of thing, also I realized that I needed to terminate the call. So so that's one of the ways that I've minimized, not that that problem went away, I addressed it afterwards. You know, because everybody's accountable. I don't care who you are. Just like Chump the Brain Dead comic Connor Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown. He doesn't believe that he's accountable, but he is and will be in short order. We just have to figure out what the ramifications of that accountability is going to look like. That's our concern. Because it's not enough to just get him out of office. It's the aftermath, and that's what we should be concerned with. So, other than that, I relaxed. There wasn't a lot of sports on. I was just reflecting on some of the older players, you know, like Jim Brown and George Foreman and even Tiger Woods to a lesser degree. He doesn't believe that he's African-American or black or whatever. Calabasian, I believe, is how he characterizes himself. have come out and vocally supported Chump. Yes, I'm more surprised with Jim Brown. You know, but then if you look at his age, he's solidly in his 70s, you know, closer to 80 than he is to 70. And he comes from an era, he started playing, you know, college ball in the late 50s. So, you know, he's not a spring chicken by any means, stretch of the imagination. And, you know, he came from an era in which, you know, white supremacy ruled supreme, no pun intended. So he doesn't realize part of his culturation process that he is seeing Chump as someone that he is quote-unquote pulling for, you know, because that was the model of the white male, brash and, you know, almost arrogant in their self-confidence, you know, but in Chump's case, you know, he's a liar and uninformed. As well. So, you know, it's a lot of issues there that are, you know, they're having a conversation about. With George Foreman, he's always been ignorant, so I'm not so much concerned with him. And with Tiger Woods, you know, talking about we need to support us, respect the office. You know, again, this is a ill-informed opinion by someone that makes his life. I don't know how he loses every tournament now, but this is the ill-informed opinion of someone that earns his keep by appeasing white folks. So he is adverse to alienating, rubbing whitey the wrong way. So I can respect that. I really can. You know, if not Tiger, unlike him, who respects the office. Now, you don't have to respect the office. You don't have to respect, the uniform or any of this foolishness. You know, it's the person that garners respect in the office or in the uniform that matters, you know. And that's where I've always come from. If people disagree with me, that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You have many, many friends. Disagree, well, you got to respect a person because of the officers. You got to respect a person because of this. No, I don't. I respect a person based on how they comport themselves, how they interact, and how they exercise if they're in a position of authority or public trust. So it depends on how they interact and how they comport themselves. And if they're disrespectful and arrogant and imperious, then they get no respect, and that's it, bottom line, and I've always been an agent of change and always have spoken truth to power and will continue to do so. And on this Labor Day, we wanted to speak briefly about the unions. I told you some years ago when I was still foolish enough to earn my living working for someone else, basically squandering my talents and my skills, education, you name it, competency, skill set. I worked for a state agency in New York as an entry-level social worker, and it was a position that was represented by a collective bargaining unit, PEF, wholly corrupt, wholly in bed with management of the agency I was with, and had run into a couple of issues, minor, and then one was major, that required the union to represent me. They absolutely did not. As a matter of fact, they fought me, went to court, and they actively fought against me. So fought against representing me, I kid you not, because this is the backroom deals that they make with management. Well, if you give us this one, we'll give you that one. But in this case, the union, PEF, the name of the union, PEF, it's a New York State union, public sector union, represents public sector employees, and does a very poor job of it. It was just outrageous, and I wind up leaving that position, which was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. I mean, I could afford to stay in. As a matter of fact, the shop steward was telling me I shouldn't have, but I didn't want to. At the point where I realized they were setting me up to fire him, it's very difficult, as you well know. It's not impossible, however, but it's very difficult to fire someone that was vested as I was, unless you conspire to get him out of there. And once I realized that they were lying and creating a paper trail because they didn't have one hitherto, the point where I had got into with the union for their unconscionable behavior, failing to communicate with me, absolutely did not respond to a single email, letter, fax, telephone call, anything. And the agency was taking all this adverse action against me because they wanted to fire me, and it was obvious. And the shop steward was, like, shocked, because he, had been there for 20, 30 years, and he had never seen the union act so aggressively in supporting management, which is not their job. So, as we see these attacks on unions now, and the ranks of unions, collective bargaining units, decimated, a lot of times, and I would have to say this, the unions have no one to fault but themselves. They elect these venal officers to positions of leadership, and they probably make these backroom deals with management in order to collect, salaries and in the six-figure range, unbeknown to the union members, you know, so that they can enrich themselves at the expense of hapless membership. So I got out of that situation, that toxic situation, and never looked back. And squandered a lot of time, I really did. And, you know, like I said about reducing stress at the onset of the show, that is one of the things that I, you know, had to do. And I'm in a position now, and I was telling the human resource person over there when I left that, you know, I'm in a safe haven now of sorts, you know, because working for myself is always... fill me with immense satisfaction. You know, I'm more creative, I'm more productive, I'm obviously happier, more content. Because I, you know, the way I look at it is I rise or fall by my own efforts. If I don't succeed, it's because of me, strictly. It's not because someone doesn't like me, I have run afoul of someone, they didn't like how I look, how I spoke, how I walk. You know, all these subjective considerations which have nothing to do with one's work ethic, one's attitude, one's professionalism, one's skill sets or competencies. So that has enabled me to become successful and to accrue the accoutrements of success that I never would have in an entry level position where I at that point I had a master's degree, and here I'm answering to people that barely passed the civil service test to be in a position that they were. It was absolutely outrageous, and you could tell these people were. Were incompetent, and I had one. I just have to share this example with you. And I'm not taking any phone calls today, which is why I haven't given out the number. But you're tuned to the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis, shipping on the mic. It's 81 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. I'm not in Brooklyn, however, I'm in Maryland at my home here. just take advantage of the Labor Day weekend, and we'll be returning sometime this week. But at any rate, one of the issues came up. The issue started with the boss, this whole situation with this particular DDSO that I was assigned to. When the boss was now writing, anyone that knows me knows communication is my strong point. You know, I remember dating this psychiatrist many, many years ago, you know, brilliant woman, really, 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 obviously, you know, working for Yale, she would be, and she said that, you know, your communication skills are, you know, superlative. She didn't use that adjective, you know, but she said that, you know, really communicate well. She was underspoken, you know, she wasn't given to a lot of hyperbole, and I appreciate that coming from her, you know, a professor of psychiatry, black woman, you know, sister, you know, really, you know, successful. I really appreciated that. So at any rate, anybody that knows me, though, knows that my writing skills are, are fairly advanced. You know, I am a published writer, and I'm working on a book. If I ever get the time, I'm making excuses. I do have the time. I just cannot seem to focus because it's a longer work than I'm usually used to writing. So you know, I'm not a Michael Eric Dyson who could knock out a book, in a month or two. You know, so it's extremely arduous. You know, to keep it all together and that sort of thing. It hasn't even been edited, but I'm going to get to it. I promise to finish it by the end of the year, and I will. So at any rate, we go in, and one of the complaints, wasn't a formal complaint. It was just, this was the excuse to call me in. to see not only my boss, my boss's boss's boss, and he said that there were a lot of errors in the report that I had written, mandatory report, that you have to generate after seeing a consumer or a client, whatever they call persons now, that were under our custody and control. And so I called in the shop steward, so my boss's boss said, well, you don't have to call a union. I said, well, okay, I got you. And I called the union anyway, because I wasn't going into a meeting with anybody without union representation. So the shop steward showed up, and we go into the meeting. And she said that, well, so-and-so said there's a lot of errors in your report, spelling, grammatical, and syntactical. And so I started laughing because I knew that was foolishness. So at any rate, she started reading and reading and reading and reading, couldn't find any. So her final analysis was, Puerto Rican woman, you know, older, you know, a little older than me slightly at the time. You know, I've always been a late bloomer. And so she was really, I would say, not even mid-management, I would say upper management. And she couldn't find one, so her critique was it's too, quote-unquote, clinical. At that point, I realized that this wasn't for me because I had never had that sort of critique made on something that I had written in my official position as a social worker. What else is it supposed to be if not clinical, a clinical assessment of a client? So I had basically given up at that point, but, you know, it was obvious that it was a lie and the guy was trying to set me up, Jimmy, or whatever his name was. And I'm sure he's long retired now, you know, a worthless clown that was a crackhead and had advanced nonetheless into middle management at this state agency. So, you know, that's where it was. So that's what I'm, you know, and this weekend I really said, I was really determined to just relax, and that's what I did. And you have to excuse me, I don't know why this, I've always had a persistent cough, but this is getting ridiculous, so I'll have to take care of this. So the point that I'm trying to make is that I think that, you know, once you do that, eliminate all these stressful or stressors from your life, man, it's just, you know, you could see how you know, you're not withering on the vine, and you tend to, you know, blossom and flower and that sort of thing. So that's where I'm at, and, you know, I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, and certainly keep it tuned in because we have more right here on Marketing Pulpit International throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, from 10:30, 11, 11:30, depending on the show, Fridays and Saturdays. You have to check Marketing Pulpit website and see what time those shows air. But have a blessed week and the rest of your holiday weekend. We're out until Monday next week. Take care.
can afford.
Yeah.